Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship.
Couldn't Morning. Good morning. Good morning. You may be seated. Excellent. Wonderful. Is this on? Oh, there we go. Hi. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning, and I'd love for us to stay in that posture and that attitude of worship this morning as we give of our offerings. This morning, our offering is for the Benevolent Fund. And this is a fund that's administered by our deacons to help those in need inside of our community, outside of our community, and also helping families with Christian school tuition. Later in the service, we will actually be commissioning the deacons and elders, and you'll have an opportunity to see the church leadership so you know their faces and we know who we can go to for help if we are struggling. We'd love to ask you during this next song to bring your offerings to the box. There's boxes here at the front. You can bring your offering during the song, and there's also ways to give that are on the screen as well. We want to pray for the offering this morning, but we also want to pray. A prayer request has come through one of our missions partners out of Esperanza. A couple of weeks ago, we heard a report back from a team that went to Esperanza over the summer. And there were some prayer requests that Nick Vandermeulen, a member of our church community who's very well tied into the community of Esperanza and Ahadasit and Zabalas there. And this morning he expressed a desire for us as a community to just rally around Esperanza and specifically the community of Ahadasit, the First Nation community in Zabalas, which is very close to Esperanza. They have just had their third death in the past few weeks. We prayed for the community because there was a death a couple of weeks ago. Two of these were youth in their 20s and one in her 30s. This is devastating for their community. And so they're crying out for God for this to stop and for the hearts of these people to know him. So we'd love to ask you to join us in prayer in the next week, but we're going to just pray right now for Nick and for the community of Esperanza, who are placed in a moment like this, a difficult moment like this, to journey alongside these communities. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you this morning that an extension of worship is the giving of our gifts and our tithes. Thank you, Lord, for the ways that you have blessed us and the ways that we have opportunity to bless others through the giving of the gifts that you have given us to steward well. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for new schedules and new starts for so many over these last few weeks, as new opportunities are before us, Lord, that can also bring up anxiousness. And so, Lord, would you meet us in the midst of all of those emotions as new realities start? We thank you for university and college students, Lord, as this is a college town, a university town. Lord, we just ask you to just bless them as they engage in their studies. Lord, we are privileged to partner with Esperanza, and Lord, we are so thankful that Nick is working with Esperanza and with the community of Ahadasit and Zabalas. But Lord, they are going through a really difficult experience right now. Lord, there is so much pain. I pray, Lord, that you would bring your comfort. And that as Nick and leaders from Esperanza minister to this community, they would see the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it brings a peace that passes all understanding and a comfort in the midst of tragedy and difficulty. Lord, we just lift up that community. Give wisdom and strength in these difficult days to the leaders of Esperanza. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We praise you. Thank you for an amazing day that we get to celebrate your goodness with our neighboring churches this morning. Receive our gifts. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome again. Big day. Fall kickoff. Ministry startup. And we have leaders. I just want to call up our staff and our board of elders, our pastoral and life group elders, and our deacons, please. We're commissioning them today. God has appointed them to lead the ministries of this church. We've chosen them because of their demonstration to the commitment to Jesus and to his church. And so they oversee the life of the church in many different ways. Always mindful, of course, that what Jesus said about leadership in ministry. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so we commission them to this role of leadership, of authority, and of vision and inspiration and encouragement. So the Board of Elders, they oversee the vision and the mission of the church. They're responsible for its governance to make sure that it stays on track and that it can continue on to accomplish its mission, ensuring that all ministry follows the purpose and the values of New Life Church. The Board of Elders, Eric Van Egmond, he's the chair. Kevin DeWolde is the vice chair. And Bernie Heising is the treasurer. Sharon Vandenberg is the clerk. And Mark Huberts and Janice Kostelik also serve along with myself on the board. And they're pictured there before you, if you can't see them up here. We're also thankful for two people who previously served last year, completing their term of 3 years in office. Thankful to Diane Kampman and to Heidi Van Wielden for the years of service that they've completed. All right, so the board oversees everything. And then we have staff. And the staff is responsible for the daily operations of ministry and here at New Life Church, making sure that we're implementing the vision and the mission of New Life Church and all of its strategies that we come up with to touch lives with the transforming love of Jesus. So we have Sam Postma. She covers GEMS and oversees cadets, and then also women's ministry and all of our IT technology and stuff. And then we have Janessa Gritter, and she's our worship pastor. You just saw her up here. She also helps to lead youth ministry. Sean Young, our newest pastor, overseeing life groups and young adults. Esther DeWall, directing Kids Church this year. Taylor Visser, in charge of all of the, well, she's in charge. In charge of administration and communication. Jacob Visser, also our part-time youth pastor, along with Janessa. Marg Kostelik, also a new hire. We'll welcome her. And she will be doing preschool, directing the preschool ministries. And then we have Kim Vanderveen, and she's in charge of all the custodial services. And Marguerite Brower, who is our bookkeeper. That's our team. And then, hey, all right. Woo. I don't know why the Board of Elders didn't get that. All right. Okay. If you find yourself, as Kuhn said, in struggling, difficulties, just finances or other physical needs, maybe counseling or Christian school tuition, all these kinds of stuff, the deacons are there to help you, representing the love of this church. And so they administer the Benevolence Fund. We just took an offering for that. And they can provide support in times of physical difficult physical circumstances. And coming up in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. When's Thanksgiving? 3 weeks. They're going to be serving you breakfast. So you better clap for these people. Mark Heidelberg, Angela Grudhoff. Mark is the chair of the deacons. Angela Grudhoff, Toby Vandergoochten, Patrick Baker, Jonathan Dreesen, and Tim Vandenberg. And over the past 3 years, Yolanda Aperlou and Ed Isinga completed their terms of office, and they were a critical part of the deacons as well. So we give thanks for that. And those are your deacons. All right. All right, and then we have elders. We have two groups of elders, actually. We have pastoral elders and life group elders. And they oversee the care of the congregation, the spiritual care of the congregation. So we care for one another, and we emphasize that through urging you to become a part of a life group. And those life groups are headed up by leaders, and those leaders are overseen by life group elders. Life group elders under the direction of Sean Young. So they are Steve Bransma and Sarah Hill, Mike Brower, Caleb Bransma, and Melinda Baker. And so we express our thanks to them. Also to the outgoing elders, Terry Kingma and Lisa Hugenrad, who also served terms of service as life group elders. And then we have the pastoral elders, and they serve you in crisis needs or in sick visits, people who are not in a life group for whatever reason. The pastoral elders are available on call for you also if you need visit, encouragement, nurturing your faith, and just upholding you in prayer. And they are Hank Hock, and I think he's probably been a pastoral elder for, I'm going to guess, 20 years. Krista Bransma, Heidi Seemiga, Albert Kampman, and Jeff Strading. So those are your pastoral elders. All right, so all of you are leaders in this church, leading ministry in some capacity or other. And we as a congregation commission you to that work of ministry. And we charge each one of you to do the work to which you have been called and to do it faithfully, to do it eagerly, to do it to the honor and glory of our God, and to continually submit to Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and to prayerfully support the vision and the mission of New Life Church. Congregation, as we commission them, you also have a responsibility to uphold this leadership. And so, responding with, "We do, God helping us," I'm asking you, congregation, will you support these leaders as they serve you in their roles? Will you submit to their leadership? And will you accept their help with thanks? Will you pray for them as they administer God's love? And will you encourage them with your support? What is your answer? Awesome. Let's pray together. God, especially today, as we just begin a new fall season of ministry, we want to thank you for your church. It's your church, God. We submit to you. We hold it as something precious. Forgive us, God, when we take it for granted. This body of Christ, New Life Church. And so we pray, Father, that in all that we do, in all that we seek to be, even today as we gather around and we enjoy just the fellowship and the fun of being together and celebrating the beginning of this year, God, may it be to your honor. May we treasure what you have given us as you call us to be witnesses in this world of your kingdom, of your rule, of your blessing. God, you call us to yourself. And so help each person standing here on stage and all of our leaders. We pray, God, that they may never lose sight of why they do their work. So we pray that you'll overwhelm them with love and devotion to you, Lord. And sometimes when they meet up with disappointment or discouragement or just simply being tired, be their strength. In the midst of discouragement or criticism, God, we pray that you will be our wisdom, that you will be our courage, and that you will remind us again and again and again of your tremendous love for us, for your people, for the world, a world for which you gave up your Son for our sake. And so as together we serve, take on our responsibilities, God, we pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, empower us to be faithful witnesses. Give us wisdom. Give us strength, we pray. And help us, all of us, to accept these leaders gladly, to encourage them always, to respect them for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You can head on back.
Hello again. Good morning. My name is Kunrad Bugelink, and I'm your host this morning, and I'm so stoked to be here. It's Block Party Day! Block Party, Block Party, Block Party. For those who know, you know, I miss guys like John Flockstra and Justin Dudney on days like this, but I'm so stoked to be here. It's going to be awesome. Get us so much fun. It is going to be a great day. We also want to welcome anyone who's a guest here this morning. Welcome to our community, and I'm glad you picked this day to come because we're going to have so much fun together. Those who are online this morning, welcome. Glad you're here and that you've joined us as well. We'd love to ask you, if you're new this morning, here in person, to take a moment to fill out a Connect card. At New Life, we hope that you would feel like you are at home and that you belong and that there are connections that you can make here. And one way for us to help that happen is for us to encourage you to grab a communication card that's in the seat pocket in front of you and just fill it out and then return it to the information booth in the lobby today, because we have these new amazing gift bags this year. Look at that. Green is one of my favorite colors. Love takes action. New Life Church. Let's see what's inside. This is what you get when you bring in your communication card today. We've got a... Ooh, check it out. Is anyone there? You're supposed to be like, oh, that's nice. Ooh. There you go. Okay. What else is in here? Another Connect card. Because you just gave us your Connect card, so now you get another one. You can fill out it again. You get a pen. Ooh. And some green string. And, oh, get this, which sits on the side of your mug so you don't get your hand burned off. There you go. Nice. And coffee! Yeah! So that is actually quite awesome. What? Yeah, no, that's inside the coffee. That's what it's worth. I'm thinking this is such a great little gift bag that I might just, like, come in a couple Sundays dressed incognito and pretend I'm a guest so I can get one of those. It'd be sweet. But no, if you are actually a guest this morning, we'd love for you to fill out that communication card and just bring it to the info booth in the lobby, and we'd love to just bless you this morning. And if you are online, it's going to be hard to give that to you, but we can still because there's an online host this morning, and if you enable the chat there and connect through there, I'm sure that there'll be some way for us to get that bag to you as well. Thank you for joining us this morning online. We have a couple of announcements this morning. The first one is life groups. We just were introduced to the life group elders. It's our life groups are starting up again this fall, and if you're not already part of a life group, we'd love to get you connected. A life group is a smaller gathering of believers that meet throughout the week to study God's word together, to care for one another through prayer and hospitality. And for my wife and I and for our kids, that's been a significant blessing for us in our lives. And that's really helped us feel connected to New Life over the last, over the years that we've been here. It's been absolutely amazing. We've loved being part of a life group. If you'd like to get connected to a life group, please contact Pastor Sam Young. And if you've already expressed an interest in joining and you're still waiting, we just ask for some patience and understanding as there's been a lot of changes over the summer. We apologize for the delay in getting you plugged in, but don't worry, we will get you connected to a life group very shortly. Of course, today is the block party, the long-anticipated block party, and if you're wondering why the parking lot does not look as usual, after the service I'm going to come back up and share a little bit about what's happening in regards to the block party and where you should go to enjoy all of the fun festivities of this afternoon. We are excited to have our kids join in some ministry this morning as well, so we are going to dismiss our kids in a moment and have a time of fellowship. And when we have this time of fellowship, it serves two purposes. We get to connect with one another and extend the peace of Christ and welcome others to this place. And parents can also take a moment to bring their children to Little Lights and to Kids Church. So this morning, 3 to 5-year-olds can go through these doors to a ministry called Little Lights. Those are pink and orange balloons. Orange is also my favorite color. I haven't thought about it with pink before, but that actually looks pretty amazing. If I was 3, 4, 5 years of age, I'd want to go through those doors. And kids who are going to Kids Church, that's children in grades 1 to 5, are invited to go through those doors on my right with those amazing balloons. And so let's start our time of fellowship this morning, and let's bring our kids to their ministry places. Good morning.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
If you would take a seat, please. Excellent. All right. Wow. Good. Well, welcome to Kickoff Sunday, and it's great to be here together. So we want to be able to give some shape to our expectation and our ambitions for this coming ministry year. And so last week we started a series called Undone, and we're following that series with this braid that is slowly unraveling, representing that undoneness, I guess. And we're thinking about what's it going to be like this year? Because it is, I mean, admittedly, a bit unusual. Last several years, actually, have been unusual, and this year, our expectation is that it's going to be the usual, and we're excited about that. But what does that mean? Because the past couple of years have made us a little bit nervous about what we can expect and what we can anticipate. And it makes it feel like everything is coming, well, undone, which is the title of our series. So last week we said, when that happens, when we look ahead and go, oh, I think I'm a little nervous and anxious because who knows what could happen? I mean, well, the problem is we do know that anything could happen, and it could be even devastating. And so last week we took a look at that. What's it like? And how do we respond when it feels like the world is falling apart? We said, man, we've got to grab a hold of God's grace, an amazing grace, a surprising grace that holds this world together. We're going to grab a hold of that this year. There's another way that we can experience being undone, however. It's when we're undone by God's love. I don't know if you noticed, but in our worship together, singing songs, that's what we were singing about. God's love. Love that's boundless, love that's measureless, love that's overwhelming, love that's reckless. Overwhelmed by God's embrace of us brings us to that point of being undone. That we are loved, so loved, valued, treasured by the God of the universe. And he knows you by name. He pays attention to you, right? We were singing that song, right? That God's willing to let everybody else go in pursuit of you. An overwhelming love. It's a sentiment that the Apostle John writes about in his letter, 1 John, way in the back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, I love this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. That's what we are. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. I wonder if you know what that is. You ever wondered about that? Yeah, maybe you've experienced it. That just an outpouring of God's love upon your life. In the movie Schindler's List, we get a bit of an inkling of that with Oscar Schindler. He's the main character, of course. And in the movie, he's being rushed out of town because at the end of the Second World War, and he's being rushed out of town because the people are worried, and he's worried, that that he's going to be in trouble for having employed many Jews. And the reason he employed them was because they were cheap labor, and he was worried that authorities would come after him for illegally employing them in his Polish manufacturing factories. And so as he approaches his car at night in the dark, suddenly there's a crowd of workers that surround him. And they're there because they want to well, lavish their appreciation, their love for Oskar Schindler. Because even though his motives were nefarious, his intent was bad, he actually ended up saving over 1,000 Jews from the concentration camps, from death. And so they give him a letter that explains what Oskar Schindler has done and the wonderful thing that he has done in saving all of these people. They give that letter to him. And it's signed by many of the employees so that if he would get caught or pulled over or taken, that he would be able to show them this letter to say, no, really, I did a good thing. And so they present him with a gold pin and they bless him. They show their appreciation, at which point Oskar Schindler gets so overwhelmed and he begins to stumble over his words and he cries out, then begins to weep. He says, I could have done more. I could have hired 10 more Jews. Why do I even have this car? I could have hired 5 more Jews. Why do I even have this ring? He had a big ring on. Why do I even have this ring? I could have hired another Jew. I could have saved another life. And the people assure him that he's done much. But Oskar Schindler becomes undone because of the love that's demonstrated for him, a love that is, quite frankly, undeserved. And in the same way, feeling the full weight of God's love upon us makes us undone. So what I'm hoping for this year in ministry is that we get to experience something of that overwhelming love of God. Because being undone by God's love means that we can let go of the masks and the pretenses of our insecurities of who we are. Being undone by God's love means that we can release ourselves from all of the expectations and entitlements that we think are owing to us. Being undone by God's love can actually calm our hearts and open ourselves to a future filled with the glory of God. I want us to experience that kind of love together. I want us to take a look at each of these things. Letting go of hang-ups with our identity, of who we are. When we're overwhelmed with God's love, our identity becomes rooted in God. Now, we know this. I mean, you and I probably would acknowledge this quite easily. And perhaps we take being called children of God for granted. John makes an interesting twist here in this passage, because in chapter 2 of his letter, 1 John chapter 2, he keeps referring to the people that he's writing to the Christians. He keeps referring to them as my dear children. He says it several times, my dear children, I write this to you, the beginning of chapter 2, in the middle of chapter 2. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. Or he says again, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. And then again he says, dear children, this is the last hour. And then again at the end of chapter 2, and now dear children. So he's calling them his dear children. And then at the beginning of chapter 3, in here in this verse 1 of chapter 3, he switches it up and he says, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called not just immature rascals, little children, but treasured members of the family of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. Not even called, he says, but we are children of God. Let that sink into you. You are a child of God. The love of God full in our face. The love of God, an overwhelming love that embraces you, wraps his arms around you, so to speak, and just holds you tight. A love of God that receives you, that accepts you. Think of all the secret thoughts, all the bad intents, all the selfish desires that you've brought here this morning before God. God puts them aside, and he opens his arms, and he overwhelms you with his love. God's love is a compassion that gathers all of those fragmented pieces of our lives and holds on to us. God's overwhelming love is a tenderness that soothes and comforts us in the middle of all the turmoil of our lives. God's overwhelming love is a firmness that never lets us go, a firmness that no matter how stubbornly rebellious we might be, no matter how cynical we might be, no matter how low our level of faith becomes, God firmly has his grip on us. Love lavished on us. Faced with that love of God means, well, it means our undoing. At one and the same time, we're exposed for who we really are and accepted for being God's child. At one and the same time, we're found out, but we're not rejected. At one and the same time, we're laid bare, flat out, and yet we're embraced. That undoing. That undoing means that we can forget about the masks that we try to wear to make ourselves look better than we are. That undoing allows us to put aside the pretense and all of the efforts we have to say, oh, I'm going to impress everybody. There's no need to compare ourselves to others or to prove ourselves when we're undone by God's love. Who we are is rooted not in how well we behave. It's rooted not in how right we are. It's rooted not in how much we have. Who we are is rooted in Jesus and what he's done for us to make us God's children. That's what we are. I don't want us to forget that. In this ministry season, as we get busy and as we carry on and you're busy in your lives and things are going on here and we have other concerns and other difficulties, I don't want us to forget who we are. Because if we forget who we are, we're going to forget our calling. We're going to forget our mission. We're going to get fragmented. We're going to enter into disarray. I want us to remember the overwhelming love of God, that great love that the Father lavishes on us, to keep reminding us who we are. And that's what we're going to concentrate on this year, so that we can be faithful to the mission. Undone by God's love. Reminds us who we are, but it also reminds us who's really in control of our lives. Because almost in godlike fashion, we hold on so tightly to our expectations and to all of the thoughts of what life owes us. If you have no idea of God's love for you, then you can't trust him. And that's why the world doesn't trust God, because they haven't experienced the love of God. So John writes, the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. They don't recognize us. They don't get us. They don't understand what we're after, what we're doing. See, in John's context, Christians were doubting God's love because they were getting persecuted, they were getting killed, they were getting harassed. And so they were beginning to think, man, I'm not sure if this faith is worth it. John explains, it's because the world has too many expectations that are foreign to God's love. They just don't get it. And so they're going to lash out on you. And it blinds them to the truth. Too many expectations. Brennan Manning, in his book, The Relentless Tenderness of Jesus, says that expectations, he says, are subtle ways of trying to control God and manipulate mystery. Subtle ways of trying to control God. It makes sense. Whether we admit it or not, we have expectations of what God is supposed to do for us. We have expectations for what others are supposed to do for us. We have expectations of lifestyle. We have expectations for what we're supposed to get out of life. And sometimes we let those expectations rule our life. We assume that if we can go after those expectations, then we have control over our lives, how the world and our lives are supposed to work. To hold on to those expectations is to trust them. I mean, look, this pandemic season that we've been in revealed how much we trust in our expectations. We were undone when faced with the pandemic because none of it matched our expectations. We didn't trust God's love. We trusted our love for ourselves. We wanted it our way. We wanted it back to the way it was. We wanted it back to normal according to our expectations. But when you're faced with God's love, we can let go of those expectations. We can be undone by God's love. This is the time for us to embrace God's love. Seek it out. Pursue it. Peer above every expectation that you have for what you're going to get out of life. Peer beyond that. Look beyond it for the love of God. Because the only thing that's going to make a difference in this world, because you've lived your life, the only difference that you're going to be able to make is having experienced the love of God and sharing that love of God with others. When God lavishes his love on us and we become undone, we can let go of our expectations. And then we have a solid hope, a solid expectation to rely on. Even now, we hope this will be a great fall season. We're anticipating, oh man, we're going to do all kinds of stuff. It's going to be awesome. And if we don't look past all of those expectations, then we risk grave disappointment if it doesn't turn out that way. On the other hand, let's put our self-centered expectations aside and place hope in God demonstrating his love for us, so that every endeavor, every ministry, every action, every involvement, every opportunity to serve is an opportunity to experience God's overwhelming love that he lavishes upon you and me individually, that he lavishes upon New Life Church, that he lavishes upon the church worldwide, that he just pours out upon us endlessly, boundlessly. And so John says, live not into your expectations, but live into your future. And this is your future, he says in verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. Live into that future. Live into that future. I mean, we've all done it. Well, let me ask you this. What was some of the best play that you remember when you were a kid? For me, it was riding my bike. Because it was never just a bike. I lived into my future, my hope of one day owning a motorcycle. Not even just any motorcycle. A chopper. Man, that bike went anywhere. And then we would take it out on the road. And then I would take it out to the back 40. We had a huge bush behind us. That transformed my world. I lived into the future of whatever I could imagine. Because that's what a child does. A child plays into their future. A future that they know or that they imagine or that they desire, to the future of their dreams. A child playing into their future anticipates something bigger and better and more glorious, something beyond even, beyond imagination. As a child of God, what future are you playing into? Are you playing into the immediate future of what you see is what you get? Or maybe you're playing into a cynical future going, what's the use anyways? What kind of future do you play into as you live your life? How about playing into the future of being like Christ? We don't know that future glory in all of its fullness, but we do know Jesus. We know Jesus even as our brother because of the overwhelming love of God. Jesus came undone for our sake. Undone by God's boundless love so that we could be called children of God. And that is what we are. And so let's live into that future of being like Christ, he who let go of everything because of the love the Father had for him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we are his children, and that is what we're going to live into in this coming year. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we're praising you for your goodness, your faithfulness, and your overwhelming love. God, there are times in our lives, where we've sensed something of that tremendous love. Perhaps we have been undone. God, refresh us and renew us in that love. Perhaps, God, we sit here this morning and we're still wondering what that would be like. Be overwhelmed by your love. So God, bless us with your spirit. Move into our lives.
today and in this week, in the experiences of our life, God, we pray that you will, that you will lavish upon us your love. Lord, we rejoice that your love releases us into freedom, that your love dismisses all of the pretense with which we feel sometimes compelled to live with. Thank you, God, that your love embraces us, even when our own hearts condemn us and accuse us still. And so may your love work past all of that junk in our lives. And may it make us brand new, children of our Heavenly Father. God, in this coming year, step by step, help us to move into that love. And when it's difficult, God, when there's confusion, when there's tiredness, when there's disappointment, when there's disaster, God, help us to turn to your love. We know that it's enough. Help us, God, in our unbelief, to throw ourselves upon you over and over again, to release ourselves, yes, even to sacrifice ourselves, to deny ourselves, because of your love. We trust you, God, and we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, would you stand? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and always. And have a lot of fun tonight.
No longer thou, you call me out.
Woo! Block party, block party. Okay, I have some instructions for block partying. I am so stoked. Some great news here. We're excited to have the block party today. It officially begins at 12, so you have some time just to hang out, grab a cup of coffee, pick up your kids from kids' church because they're going to want to be involved in this. And it's going to take some time for all the activities to get set up yet. I just want to let you know where some of the things are so you know where you're going. At Cascade Church, which is the church just beside us here on this side, they are going to have a hot dog lunch. Cotton candy and popcorn, woo, cotton candy and popcorn, are going to be at Zion Church, which is just across the street from Cascade. Popsicles and ice cream will be here at New Life Church. Outside by the green gates is the kids' corner. There's inflatables, crafts, face painting, balloon animals. For activities, there's street hockey and basketball at Cascade, lawn games and nine square here at New Life, and mini golf and ping pong at Zion. We do want you to make sure you're being safe. We don't want people ripping across the street just anywhere here along Del Air. If you do need to go across the street, please go over to Cascade, and there'll be a crossing guard to help you cross over to the other side there safely. There's bathrooms that are going to be open at every church there. There's also tables and chairs here at New Life and also at Cascade Community Church to eat your lunch. And wander around, please. Make use of all of the space and go see some of the amazing things there and find someone and challenge them to a game of cornhole. I've never been able to beat Marvin Bravo at cornhole before. He's like a cornhole champion, so if you want a challenge, you can try and beat Marvin Brow over there. Maybe he's actually not that good. It's just that I'm bad, really bad at cornhole. But I'm looking forward to figuring out what's actually true. So find someone you don't know, sit down and eat, and have a wonderful time. Go block party. Have a great time.